Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
670 The Score in Chicago. Shout out to you guys, McNeil and Parkins. Love you guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we direct your attention to the scoreboard for a special tribute to Norm Van Leer.
Oh, look at this defense, people. Look at that defense. Yes, you're dribbling over here. You're getting this man. You're getting that man. He might have got hacked, but hell, we're playing in Chicago.
They go outside of Van Leer. He takes it inside, lays it up and good. Van Leer has scored 34 points for Chicago.
Norm Van Leer was a tenacious defender and along with Jerry Sloan formed one of the NBA's greatest defensive backcourts in history.
Great defensive play by Van Leer.
He was the ultimate competitor, and the battles at practice between him and Jerry Sloan are legend.
Sloan takes it in, feeds out to Van Leer. And he's hot.
The three-time NBA All-Star.
I just know Norm was a feisty little guy, and I'm afraid to say anything about him now because he might still be that way and come back and take revenge on me.
Michael, hold your horses. Get back. Now, get it out of here. Don't come in my house with that yes.
Norm was one of the toughest guys I've ever played with. I have tremendous respect for the way he approached the game every day, the way he approached practice every day. Certainly miss him.
So let's loosen this place up, man. Let's get down with it. Let's have some fun, and that's what it's all about. You can't have fun doing what you're doing, then we're in trouble.
I would say a competitive rascal that if he wasn't on your side, you want to kill him easily.
Walker controls the catch to Van Leer. Game is tied. 19,000 up and screaming.
I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate all the support that I've ever gotten out of the city and the people and the human beings. That means a lot, more than any money and all the things that you can possibly have in this world. Friendship and getting along. I think that's a reward in itself. Everything else will take care of itself. If you're about being a good person, things will work out.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
11 years ago today, in an odd twist of fate and irony, Norm Van Leer and Johnny Redkerr both dying on the same day.
Yeah, that really, it was an awful day. Outstanding job by Tanny putting that package together, and with some of Norm Van Leer's favorite Led Zeppelin tracks accompanying. We lost Norm 11 years ago today, and when I say we, I am speaking on behalf of Chicago, because very much like his radio partner here at The Score, Doug Buffone, Norm Van Leer belonged to Chicago. He loved you Bulls fans as much as you loved him. Those of you who went to the old Chicago Stadium to watch that first Bulls team that mattered in 74 and 75, and I didn't go to the games, but I was watching them on television. Norm Van Leer gave that team its first identity along with Bob Love and Chet Walker. He was a fierce competitor defensively. He was the mod guy with his mutton chop sideburns and his red Adidas suede with the white stripes. And that I got to know him later and do shows with him and work alongside him, using him as a basketball analyst here and at another outlet as well, and hang out with him after hours, truly was a joy. He easily is and always will be my favorite Chicago Bull. And what an awful day that was when I got news. You'll always remember where you were when certain things happen. I was between jobs in March of 09, and out in Joliet at the casino, had lunch with a guy in our fantasy football league, and then went to go lose some money playing roulette and come back to the vehicle, and there are 25 red lights on my phone, text messages. Sorry about Norm. I know he was a bud. Crazy about Norm. He was only 61 years old, and he lived hard, and he lived on his terms, and he really loved being a Chicago guy.
I met him seemingly more times than I can remember just around at Bulls games because he was just so accessible. Yeah. It was like you couldn't go to a Bulls game. He was like, hey, Norm Van Leer.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob Love. Right. Like they were just always there. And so as a kid and you would see him on TV, you were like, man, it's Norm Van Leer.
Right.
Storm and Norman. And then it would be cool. You'd see him in the concourse or walking around, and he was so quick to, you know, give you a little fist bump or take a picture if you wanted or anything like that. And then interacted with him in a not meaningful way to him, but to me, one time at the at a Mac Yurko and Harry golf outing. He had he was served early, I'll say that. Norm Van Leer. But he was friendly. Like he wasn't a mean or an angry drunk. He was just
a happy drunk, yeah. A
very happy drunk.
Was that the outing he drove the golf cart into a pond?
No, I would have remembered that. There was no bad ending to any of these. But he was a friend to everybody.
Yeah, he drank a lot.
Yeah.
He did, and he doesn't care if people have a problem with that. He did a lot of mind-altering substances and wasn't bashful about that. Didn't know it at the time. I don't know if anybody did or if he even talked about it publicly, but years later, he would talk about his summers after the basketball season would end, whether he was here as a Bull or a member of the Cincinnati Royals, the team that he played his first few seasons with. If I remember it right, the Bulls drafted him and then traded him to Cincinnati, and then they reacquired him a couple years later. He'd go up to the Northwoods in Wisconsin and just trip for a week.
Sometimes you got a trip.
He enjoyed his orange sunshine and his Led Zeppelin music and Jimi Hendrix, and he would just go up to just chill for a little while. And he said that he once got out of a cab right outside the stadium in Bulls warmups, just 10 minutes before tip, with rings of smoke billowing out of the cab as he opened the door, because he loved his ganj. And and if he were still here today, Danny, he would love to go burn one with me and my radio son.
That would
be fun.
It would have been a tremendous honor to burn one down with Storm and Norman.
I liked him so much. Like all of us, he's a flawed man. He's an easy to love man. He really was. He was a tough SOB. He wanted to be a football player. He grew up near Pittsburgh and wanted to play football. His mother hated it that he convinced her to play high school football, I think a quarterback, and loved the Steelers, loved the way they played, and just always around. He was a man of the people. You'd see him on the L. You'd see him on CTA buses. He was just one of us. And just horribly, horribly short life at 61. But he lived it. He lived it hard and on his terms. So a raise of the glass tonight for the great Norm Van Leer.
And well done by Tanny putting that together. I thought NBC Sports Chicago did a nice job. It'll always be a day, right, for the Bulls organization, Bulls broadcast, the networks, their partners, and all of that, February 25th, when you have him, this beloved figure, and then Johnny Red Kerr and his multiple ties for so long to the organization passing away on the same day. I know you weren't as close to Red Kerr, but just
Not really.
That's fine. Remember your friends, but just like for the Bulls, for it to happen.
He's our first head coach. Yeah.
To happen on the same day, it's just like, man, that'll be something that we'll be watching Bulls games 30 years from now, and on February 25th, they'll be remembering those two guys for it happening on the same day.
It was bizarre. Norm wasn't bashful about this late in his life. He felt somewhat slighted by the organization. There were a lot of people, and he had people in his head telling him this for years, that his number two should have hung from the rafters. There was one jersey from that group that did make it up to the rafters, and that was Bob Love. And if you're only taking one guy from teams that didn't win anything, that would have been the right one. So I can't quarrel with the Bulls organization for that. But they kept him around for quite some time and on the payroll, even when they probably wanted to cut ties with him because of his habits, being at the United Center and speaking with everybody, but often missing a step or two on his way down the aisle.
Yeah, you don't want that to be your ambassador necessarily.
No, but I loved Norm Van Leer. I miss him so much.
And as a texter, you know, points out, and you sometimes laughter is the best medicine in the face of some tragedy and some sadness. We did get some great audio on this station a result of that tragic day in Bulls history.
Among yesterday's attendees at the wake, all the children of Johnny Red Kerr, who will be buried on Thursday.
Man.
It's an emotional day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Red Kerr's kids got it, too?
What a coincidence.
That's crazy.
All at once. Yeah. Man. Thank you to George Hoffman. That's so good. Texters also, just to circle back around, and you just mentioned quarterback, it triggered it for me. What do you think of Zac Efron for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Zac Efron couldn't be better.
It's not bad.
If they ever do the Jimmy G story, Zac Efron is, yes, he is impossibly good looking. I think I only have seen him in one film, but even opposite a very attractive female counterpart, my eyes move toward him. I can't be dishonest about it. Exactly. I know, that's very Ronickian, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, Zac Efron is a good-looking dude, and in seemingly every movie he does,
he's perfect-looking.
Well, he's so good-looking that they have to acknowledge how good-looking he is. Like, his Entourage cameo, it's about how a little girl is getting his autograph, and then, oh, what's your name, sweetie? Can you make it out to Becky? Thanks, Becky. And then that's the mom's name, because she's fawning over him.
Yeah.
In Neighbors, that he's just so good-looking, and I mean, he just, you know, he's a good-looking dude.
Yes, he is. That's perfect for Jimmy G.
It works.
We'll pass that along to Kyle Brandt. No, we won't.
Probably
not. We're not going to do anything like that.
Did you ever see Baywatch when they brought that movie back?
Baywatches? Underwater panties?
I pulled back up the Zac Efron's page. Oh, yeah, they made a remake of Baywatch. It was The Rock, Zac Efron, and Alexandra Daddario from season one of True Detective fame. So,
wow.
It's a good-looking cast.
Wow, yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't watched that movie 15
it's
times.
It's on my hit list now.
All right, thought
boy,
it might.
Boy, that's quite a thing, the three of them together.
Right, it's a good-looking cast.
I can handle that. Yeah.
I thought you might be able to.
Alexandra Daddario, she is just... She did another movie with The Rock, too, San Andreas.
Yes.
She was playing the role of a high school girl, though, and she was well past minority age. She was probably in her early to mid-20s when she played the role. But in the role she's playing, she's a girl in high school, so I just like having conflicts with my thoughts. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I know what you're saying, but she was an actress in her 20s, a very beautiful woman. So you're okay there.
Yeah.
Right? Your thoughts are okay.
Don't think that way. She's 17. No, she's not.
No, she's not.
She's not.
Your thoughts.
That's the character she's playing.
It's acting.
Yeah.
It's make believe.
Rock did all the acting in that movie.
As he often does.
He was saving a city. He was jumping out of burning buildings, collapsing buildings. He was catching helicopters before he fell to his day. Yeah, he was pretty incredible.
I haven't seen a lot of those movies, but they all make hundreds of millions of dollars.
People like action, don't they?
Yeah, special effects.
People like that crap.
It's arguably America's greatest export. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So those movies, they're like, they'll be mocked here. And it's, made $300 million internationally. Oh, that's why they made Skyscraper. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Natural disasters.
Yeah, I get it.
Movies with lots of crashes.
Yeah, just things to blow up. That's really all it is.
Yeah.
It could be that simple. So I was thinking about this today. And in honor, because you mocked me when I praised you for being down 9 pounds, right? You're down, it's nine?
Nine 9.4 pounds, I think.
And you have to give up, you're giving up sweets?
Yeah.
Right? Spiegs, talking to him earlier, he's down some weight. He's been giving up carbs. But you guys are doing it voluntarily. A lot of people right now for Lent are getting ready to give up something for 6 weeks. I was thinking, should we all give up something solidarity here, because, you know, misery loves company, and you got tormented by the donuts that were here the other day.
You saw me at breakfast or at lunch today wishing I could have pancakes.
Max's order was so sad. He just ordered a cheese omelet, and then some, he wanted crispy hash browns, and then like toaster pancakes, and he was like, Neither.
Oh, no.
Guys, some fruits.
It was neither an oh no tone.
It was a very, very sad Mac.
Mac can't even be our pancake eating MF anymore.
I know.
Oh no.
Will you have an order of pancakes on draft day?
Maybe on draft day.
Okay. Yeah. We want you to be healthy, but I mean, come on.
I need to do some research on sugar substitutes that are acceptable to eat. Because so far what I have found for sweetener, just not good. Everything has a real bad back end to it, too, if you will. So, no, you guys shouldn't have to give anything up on my account. I would guess that the Catholic Nick Shepkowski, raised Catholic, yes?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, did you participate in Lent annually?
Sometimes I do. It's probably good, too. Like, I probably should more than I tend to do, but... I don't know. I thought there was something I could give up, or at least a task to change for myself, to better myself for the next 40 days. And it will be as hard for me to do it as it is for Mac to deal with sweets or giving up sweets and sugar. And that is hitting snooze on my alarm clock in the morning or on my phone in the morning. I am guilty as anyone of, for whatever reason, I convince myself when I'm laying in bed that 5 extra minutes is going to make a difference. Oh, I'm going to have energy if I sleep for 5 or 10 more minutes. No, you're not. Get your ass out of bed and get moving. I think that's my plan. I'll try to...
See, that's an interesting thing to give up.
you're giving up. Well, because I don't want to deprive myself of anything. I've taken great pride in my life of not depriving myself of things.
Depriving himself the best 5 minutes of his morning right there.
He's giving up going like this.
What a sacrifice.
Well, if you're someone who hits snooze, that's damn near impossible to do.
Yeah.
You've convinced yourself those 5 minutes make a difference.
How many times do you hit it?
Congratulations. That's good delusional thinking.
Sometimes it's once or twice. Sometimes, God, it turns into a half hour and you're only sleeping for 5 or 7 minutes at a time and it does nothing for you.
Yeah, all right, well, all right.
Stop hitting snooze.
All right, so Shep is giving up the snooze button.
I'm surprised new dad has to even set an alarm. That's the shocker there. That's an upset.
Yeah, is Peyton sleeping through the night already?
She's doing a lot better with it, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, God bless.
Wow.
A lot better here of late.
What is that, 10 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours?
10 hours, no, not 10 hours.
Okay.
Usually around 10, she'll go down. And then once you get close to 6, she'll start... She's not necessarily always sleeping. Like, she does this new thing where she's fascinated with her legs. So you'll just hear she's in her bassinet, and you'll just hear.
Adorable.
All right.
And she'll entertain herself for just, like, an hour in the middle of the night by just practicing her leg drops like she's a professional
Hulk
wrestler.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Well, you can sleep through that.
Right, it's not like screaming and yelling.
Yeah, that's progress.
Good, yeah.
I don't want to give anything up, but I am going to try.
I don't want to give anything up.
I know, but I'm gonna exercise. It's gonna be minor, but I might plank, might do some push-ups, might walk up the stairs instead of taking the elevator. I'm gonna try to
walk the escalator instead of just standing there and checking your phone for messages or Twitter.
Well, I was thinking about I put a 1 hour time limit on my Twitter app about 2 months ago, and but then when you hit the 1 hour mark, it says, you know, add 5 minutes, add 15 minutes, or ignore limit for the day, and I just ignore limit for the day every single time. So. Maybe I could try to limit myself to just 1 hour of Twitter a day on my phone. Because I want to read more books. I really want to read more books.
I do too.
It's just, I know. I'm so lazy. And when I watch TV, I'm watching bad stuff. I very easily could spend that hour listening to an audiobook or reading a book. And I've read a couple already.
That's the weed for both of us.
Yeah, I know.
That's the weed.
It really is.
That's me watching Borat for almost an hour yesterday morning instead of picking up the damn Howard Hughes book I bought 2 months ago that I haven't started yet.
See, the audiobook thing, I'm starting to try to get into it, and that's helpful because it counts, right? You guys count that as reading a book if you listen to an audiobook?
No.
You don't.
No.
Absolutely not.
Neither of us had. No, you're not doing the work.
I mean, you're not doing the work. You're consuming the information.
You're not reading.
You're not reading, right. You're listening.
You're listening to a speech.
All right, wait a second. Reading a book.
Means reading. Yes.
You don't think that it counts?
Eyes move left to right.
No, you're listening.
Put that on a poll question.
That's not reading.
If you listen
you're
to a book.
You're physically reading, though. Oh, I'm not like.
I understand your point. I just want to know if the masses agree with you or me. I want a poll question. That's all I'm asking.
My God. Okay. This is going
to
be like
if you listen to an audiobook, does it count for you saying, I read the book?
Someone read the book to me is how you would have to describe that.
What?
Yes.
So
yes, because you didn't.
Yes or no?
No, it's not really a yes or no. Then, okay, if I have to pick one, I'm picking no. If I had to choose. Because yes needs a qualifier. No does not. And it still is factually correct.
Huh.
It's accurate. Did not read it.
Okay, well, then I'm in trouble. Because I was thinking, that would count. You're consuming information. You're consuming the book.
But you're right. Literally not reading. You're literally listening to it.
I know that.
So you're not reading the book. You're hearing the story.
Twitter poll.
You're not doing the act of reading, but you are consuming the book. It's more intellectually stimulating than watching Borat. It's closer to reading than watching a movie.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Is it closer to reading than watching a movie? Pretty much you're being told.
Closer to a spider than it is a snake.
You're pretty much being told an old radio show is what you're doing.
With
one person
like
telling
podcasts.
The story instead of multiple.
Put this on. I bet you this is going to be 50-50.
Texters early on are not 50-50, but it's not by landslide. And then, of course, the no, you're an idiot.
Yeah, well, obviously, the dissenters are very anti.
If it took that take to get you to realize that.
All right, so Shep and Mac say I'm wrong. Tanny, whose side do you come out on here?
I said, yeah, simultaneously right away with Mac. Absolutely not.
Okay,
that
yeah, you
not
did.
Reading. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
You did.
I just said I read 670 The Score every day.
All right, but you
dot com. Dot.
See, you tampered with the jury pool on the poll question.
No, I didn't. It's yes or no.
Shep wrote the question like this.
Okay.
If you listen to an audiobook, does it count for saying, I read the book? Yes, in parentheses, Parkin's lazy ass. No, in parentheses, anyone with self-pride.
Yes for a yes or no.
Yes. You're tampering with the jury. We know that the audience is going to come out against me here.
I think this is going to be a slam dunk without commentary. I do.
But don't you want to make sure, Mac? Don't you just want to tie up any loose ends that might be there?
I hate you guys. All right, well, I'm going to listen to audiobooks, and I'm going to occasionally work out over the next 40 days.
You're too lazy to press play on the audiobook.
he can have that workout, air quotes, while listening to a book.
He's going to get that, like, ab machine that shakes the weight off for you.
Yeah.
While pressing play on the audiobook.
Go for a schwitz.
Right. He's going to do the Bernstein workout.
It's not a bad idea.
Bernsey works out hard. I've seen
him.
Just ask him. I've been in the gym with him. Yeah.
Yeah, what year
been
was
a
that?
Few years.
What year was that?
Yeah, but no, he worked out like a demon.
Well, I mean, I need to get in a gym. I need to do something.
Give me something.
I'm in terrible shape. I got a kid to live for now. Max losing weight. You're running marathons. Everyone around me is improving themselves.
I do appreciate everyone saying marathons. I ran one marathon. I did not earn the plural version of that. It's a marathon still, but
one.
If you want to think I ran multiple, feel free.
Can't even pick a favorite.
All right, fine. You ran a marathon. That's impressive.
It is. I'm with you, though. I need to get my ass back in a gym. Not happening regularly enough.
All right. I didn't know we were going to get here, but I really thought I read a book the other day when I finished an audiobook. Really did.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope. Someone read it to you.
I consumed a book.
Nope.
That's not bad. I consumed a book.
I consumed a book.
There you go. There's your solution.
I'm going to consume more books this year.
Consume the book. Yes. There you go. You're not lying now.
All right. I hate lying. All right. I consume the book. I'm going to consume more books and exercise. Let it be said, let it be done. It's McNeil and Parker.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the score.
The problem is, though, they're open for business, but nobody's going to need their business. That's the problem. It's like Mocha Joe and Latte Larry, okay, if you've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, okay? The Lions are going to be open for business right next door. So the team in front of you is open for business and has a quarterback. So the bottom line is, I don't see how the Giants are open for that much business.
The man truly has a dizzying intellect. Did enjoy that reference, though, to this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That is shocking to me, Tanny. That Francesa had a modern-day Season 10 Curb Your Enthusiasm HBO reference. That was impressive.
Been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, okay?
Good job.
He's had some time on his hands lately.
That's true.
In semi-retirement, right.
Only has 30 minutes a day. Maybe he's going to have a Better Call Saul take for us next week. I've only watched one of the two.
Don't get greedy.
No, I know. That would be absolutely ridiculous.
Been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, okay?
The poll question.
It's a show on TV.
It's on HBO, Larry David, blah, blah, blah. The poll question, if you listen to an audiobook, does it count for saying I read the book? Even with Shep's very slanted wording of the choices, yes, Parkins is a lazy ass. No, anyone with self-pride. Only 61% say no. If you listen to an audiobook, it counts as reading a book.
I am okay. Stunned. I got a text message from my favorite former reference librarian, very into books, that being my own mother. Shout out Irene Shepkowski. Oh, disloyal mom, I agree that listening to audiobook counts as reading the book.
Yeah! Yeah! Literature!
I am absolutely shocked. I'm stunned.
I got a text on it, too, which shocks me also, from my buddy Vans, who says audiobooks typically are abridged.
Wait, what?
I don't know. I've never done a book via audiobook. I don't know if that's the case. And he reads a lot, so I would tend to trust his judgment. What?
People just are taking it to these extremes. They're like, so are you going to make your kid listen to Goodnight Moon instead of reading your kid? No, you still need to learn how to read. Or if you're listening to a radio show by podcast, John
that
Greenberg from the
Can we revisit that for a second, though? Would that be the most Parkins thing ever? Little Owen, I got Twitter to reread. I got a Bulls game to watch. And just press play on Goodnight Moon.
Yeah, hire his company to come over and read to him.
Yeah, use my promo code Parkins for $30 off your first Jiffy. But yeah, John Greenberg over at The Athletic, he's like, I just read a great podcast. That's not what I'm saying. It's a book. The author gets in a studio, records the book. Like, I'm listening to the Norm MacDonald book, audiobook. I got Norm MacDonald telling me stories. What's wrong with that?
I'd love that. There are a few exceptions where I'd be like, I would like to hear that book because I love the person's voice so much. But I read that book. It's a great book to read.
Why is it not great to hear it in Norm's voice?
I'm sure it's shortened. I'm sure it's not written verbatim as the book is.
Right. If why these, are you sure if these that? Books are access. Truncated, they're not the books.
You guys have no
I mean, so why would that be the case?
Somebody is reading to you the Cliff's Notes from a book.
Besides, I can read the Norm Macdonald book with his voice in my head while I'm reading it. That's fine. That's probably funnier.
You don't need actually Norm Macdonald reading you his book.
Okay.
Like, is that a thing? Is it always the author of the book?
It often is.
Okay.
That's part
of the
allure.
Didn't Barack Obama win the award for that? With his biography?
What award?
He won. I forget what the award was, but the
the award for that. Anyway,
the Pulitzer.
I'm being presented with an award.
Him voicing his own audiobook. Surprised you didn't read it, Parkins.
But that's also part of why I like
reading.
I have
read Obama, both of his books, actually.
Is the author's voice in the text? Like, can you hear that? You know what I mean? Like, is their distinct voice, their point of view, does it translate or did someone else do it for them? You know, like, especially with Norm Macdonald. I could tell Norm Macdonald wrote that book.
Yeah,
because
right.
of the way he words, you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. And
it's a much more personal medium because right. of that, too.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Trying to get into audiobooks, and then I'm going to be claiming them as I read the book. I don't care what this poll question.
Consumed. And, go with consumed.
Yeah, but read is more impressive.
It's also a lie.
It's not a lie.
It is a lie.
If you believe it. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Hoops. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena Thursday. They've got Illinois at 7. Tickets on sale at nusports.com. You want to talk to Chuck Swirsky?
He's read some books, too. Daddy Ernie Harwell's coming in tomorrow night. He's just written a brand-new book called Tuned to Baseball. The veteran voice of the Tigers talks about Kobe White and other Bulls events in a few minutes on Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Come to Papa! It's loose and picked up by White. Over the timeline. Here is Kobe at the top of the key for three. Bam! Kobe White. Timeout. OKC. Come to Papa.
Cherry pie falling from the sky, Mr. Swirsky. Chicago Bulls within 1 point. 87-86. Timeout on the floor.
The best thing about the Bulls right now, Kobe White. A close second. Chuck and Bill right here on The Score.
Yes, that tandem did not sound like last night. It was doing a broadcast for a team that's almost 20 games below the 500 mark after coming up short. That was enthusiasm personified.
And he always is. Mr. Positivity, Mr. Enthusiasm, our teammate here at The Score by way of the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park is the Hall of Famer himself, Chuck Swirsky. Swirsk, how's it going today?
Danny, congratulations on the newborn. I'm very excited for you, and wow, that's great news.
Yes, being a dad is something that he long has deserved, a humbling,
yeah,
a comeuppance, if you will.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you. It's I'm tired, but it is amazing. It is a true game changer. I have been humbled in a way that I did not know I could be. I'm sure I will get my hubris back sooner than later, though.
Well, enjoy every moment. You know, it goes by so quickly, and you hear that, Danny, when you're in the moment and you got a thousand things going on, you're stressed out, you're worried about the home life, you're worried about work, you got, you know, errands to run, and then all of a sudden you wake up on the other side of the pillow and they're saying, Dad, can I have the car keys? You know, mm-hmm. that Harry Chapin song, Mac?
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah, sure, and yes.
Cats in the Cradle. And when I used to listen to that song and thinking, no. And now when I heard that song like about 3 days ago, I started to get teary-eyed. I really did.
Great song.
It's true.
Well, yeah, everyone says it goes by fast. It seems incomprehensible to me right now, but I'm sure it's true.
Yes, it's like an NBA season. It goes by quickly.
Is this season going by quickly for you?
You know what? They all go by too quickly because, you know, when you have – and guys, you know, they're sitting in these chairs – It's a privilege. It's an honor. I mean, you're in a major, major market. Mac, you've been doing this for decades, and Danny has a wonderful career in front of him. And so when you're in that moment and these games are a blur, and I mean, it seems like yesterday we opened up in Charlotte and we were talking about Kobe White and a rookie and playing ball at North Carolina under Roy Williams for, you know, 1 year in Chapel Hill. All of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at the schedule and we have 20 plus games left.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Like, I've been waiting for a bright spot, Chuck, in this season. And I know Zach LaVine has been very good, but he was supposed to be, right? Like, that wasn't a surprise necessarily Coby White, the last three games, has finally been, to me, the bright spot in this season. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, I think, obviously, you get in a situation where, with the team so banged up, and, you know, in and out of the lineup, different combinations and whatnot. But, you know, when I saw him in preseason, then the first month and a half, and for NBA fans who have followed careers of players, including one in Chicago, Ben Gordon, he reminds me a little of Ben. He reminds me a lot of Lou Williams. And Lou Williams plays for the Clippers, and he's been, you know, with Philadelphia, he's with Atlanta, he's with Toronto, he's won Sixth Man Award three times. And, I mean, he reminds me so much. And I think he's a very exciting player. And the encouraging thing I like about his game of late, he's getting to the free throw line. And the last five games, he's been averaging five free throw attempts. In the month of January, he was getting to line less than two times per game. So I think all these are very, very positive signs, as you mentioned, as they move forward, especially in the next year.
Chuck, I've heard people debate where he should be playing and if he should be getting minutes at the point. What do you think? Is he best as a two guard and should just leave that as it is?
Well, you know what? I mean, he's been playing off the ball. Sometimes he has the ball in his hands when he advances. You know what, Mac? Here's the story with the NBA. The NBA that you and I grew up in, this is no longer that NBA. And these players are now hybrids. And so they're playing two, three, four positions. They're defending one through four at times. And I'm not talking about every player. But the way that we grew up thinking about a point guard as a one, shooting guard as a two, small forward at the three, power forward at the four, and center at five, all those things are changing. And they're changing by the minute because of what's happening at AAU ball, high school basketball, along with the collegiate level, is that these bigs who are now 6'10", 7'1", they want to play away from the basket. They want to shoot 18-footers. They want to take three-point field goals. And this is the way they're being taught. This is the way they're being coached. So when you say, is he a point, is he a two-guard, I would agree with you the fact that, okay, do we have a, you know, are we looking at a player that will break down, pass the ball, so on and so forth? Truth of the matter is, I think those days are over. I think if you get guards, they're going to adapt to what's going on with the game today and who they're playing with. Does that make sense, Mac?
Yes. I mean, do you understand? Yeah, I absolutely understand what you're saying. Thank you.
We're talking to the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky. Do you think it matters that Jim Boylan is not starting Coby White right now?
No, you know what? Listen, I think at this point in time, Coby's getting a lot of minutes. He comes into the game, Danny, 6 minutes in, sometimes earlier, and he's on the floor at crunch time, and he's on the floor in late-game situations. And to me, that speaks volumes about how far this guy has come. And all those things will take care of itself for 2021 season, whether or not he starts, whether he's coming off the bench, and how many minutes he's getting. But the way he's playing, he deserves these minutes. And I think what's going on with the Bulls right now, because they're down to, what, nine players? I mean, they're without seven rotational players.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have your best players on the floor at the end of the game or meaningful minutes, and which he deserves. You just can't give a guy minutes for the sake of saying, okay, you're healthy, you're getting minutes. You got to produce, and he's produced.
Chuck, usually when Jim Boylan's name is being discussed on this and other sports talk outlets in town, when people are talking about the Bulls and Jim Boylan comes up, it regularly becomes a punchline. He has become the butt of many jokes. For those who are his harshest critics, what's something they should know about Boylan they might not know?
Well, I mean, I think what you see is what you get from a transparency standpoint. I mean, from the media scrum standpoint, when he addresses the media, I think he's very sincere. I think he believes in his value system regarding players. And you know what, Dan? I'm going to give you a line that, and you were around this gentleman, and I was around him a lot. And in fact, I think he should be on the Mount Rushmore of sports executives as one of the finest the city's ever seen. And his name was Jim Finks. And Danny, I don't know if you're familiar with his background. He was the guy that built the old Purple People Eaters with the Minnesota Vikings, came to the Bears in the 70s, had some outstanding drafts. I mean, he believed in drafting, like, offensive linemen. And if you had eight good ones and there was a guy on the board, he would draft him because he thought that, you know, line play was everything. And so I came to Chicago, and I remember I received a beautiful letter from him because I really didn't know too many people when I came here. And I'm getting back to your original question, Dan. So he calls me in, and we started talking about philosophies, about his mindset as how he ran a team. And he goes, Chuck, I'm going to give you some advice. And I said, what's that? He goes, owners own, GMs, GMs, head coaches, coach, and the rest of us stay in our lane. So when, one day when you're a broadcaster for a team, you're the broadcaster. And I will never forget that. And that's why my take is when I call a game, I call a game. The rest of this stuff, I really don't worry about because really, honestly, it's none of my concern.
Okay, I know you talk to him before every game. I hear it on the commutes, and I was giving you a chance to say something nice about him. And I'm guilty of it too from time to time because it's easy to do just to fall in line. It's lazy, and I admit to that. But he has done a bunch of things this year that have just and some of his players now publicly disrespecting him, off-putting to anybody who really cares about the future of this thing, I would think.
Well, again, you know what, Dan? I'm going to come back at you with the fact that, you know, he treats me as a professional, which I appreciate. And for that matter, every coach that I've ever had to deal with on an individual basis, whether it's been with the Bulls, with the Raptors, whether it was the University of Michigan, when I got to Michigan, Gary Moeller and then Lloyd Carr were the coaches with football, and Steve Fisher and Brian Ellerby were with basketball, and Ray and Joey Meyer with DePaul. So as long as I'm able to do my job and they treat me respectfully, which Jim Boylan does, and what the other coaches have done, that's all I can ask.
How many cigarettes did Jim Fink smoke in that first meeting in his office?
Probably a pack.
Yeah, he's always had one going.
But Danny and Mac, you know a little bit. I don't know how well you know Jim Fink, but I'll say this. I think he does not get enough credibility or accolades for what he did with the Bears. And I know everyone talks about the 85 Bears with Mike Ditka and Jerry Vinese and whatnot. It was Jim Fink who built that ball club, period.
Chuck, we'll get you out of here on this. Little bit of a right turn. If you listen to an audiobook, can you claim that you read the book?
No.
There you go.
All right. Let's put Chuck down for no.
So I was an easy no also.
Yeah. You guys are wrong.
Because when you read a book, you absorb it. I mean, you're not driving a car and you're worried about whether or not some guy with a bicycle is coming at you or, you know, whether or not, you know, you forgot to get the milk at Jewel Osco. I mean, you know, you've got a book in your hands. And when I got a book on an airplane, like I'm locked in. When I read a book on my couch, I'm not going online to check whether or not someone's, you know, sending out a tweet. I'm focused on my book.
Yep.
Yeah, but
it's a personal relationship.
Yeah.
It's you and the words on the page. It's intimacy personified.
Yeah. What book are you reading right now, Danny?
Nothing. He's listening to one.
I got two going. I'm listening to the Norm MacDonald book and this book on the 08 election called Game Change.
Ah, okay.
But the Norm one's
good, huh, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, guys. Congratulations again.
Thank you, sir. Very much appreciated.
My mentor, Chuck Swirsky, the veteran voice of the Bulls.
It's great stuff. He's wrong, but, you know, it's great stuff. Perfect sports radio debate, by the way.
Oh, it's what it's made for.
It really is. Arguably the highest profile player in the NFL has come out with his stance on the CBA.
Yep.
I will give you the update on that. And snuck up on me, 1 month from today, a huge sporting event. We're going to get into it coming up on The Score. Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.